Hey guys, Tyler here. I'm here with Mike, as always.
Sup?
No, we're here with Haven today, because... Is your dog okay?
Yes.
Okay. While we're here under practical quarantine, self-isolation, whatever you want to call it, we're kind of working more out of boredom than anything right now. Desperately trying to find things to do. We've been catching up on TV shows, on movies, on video games, because we don't know what to do with our lives when we can't go out and do other things.
No.
So today, what we have for you is we're both, you probably already know this to an extent, but we're both pretty big Broadway and musical theater geeks. That's how we met, actually, back in high school. Was through musical theater. So earlier today, I asked Haven if she'd be up to make a video with me where we compare our top 10 Broadway musicals. And I think we both kind of have an idea of, like, our top one or two.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see how they'll compare and how close they'll be. So we haven't looked at them yet at each other. So we're going to see how much of a surprise it is whenever we get to our top ones, but in the meantime, we just decided it was something fun to do, to compare lists and see what our top 10 would shake out to be, see if we can throw each other off. So I guess without further ado, would you like to begin or would you like me to?
No, I'll let you go first.
You want me to go first?
Yes.
Okay. So my number 10 is Book of Mormon. And I chose Book of Mormon because, I mean...
It's Book of Mormon.
Yeah. Like, if you know it, it's written by the guys that did South Park. It's Matt Stone and Trey Parker. And it's...
Josh Gad, Andrew Rannells.
Yeah. It's got Josh Gad and Andrew Rannells. It's offensive and filthy and also weirdly, like, heartfelt and life-affirming. Like, it's hard to, like... I don't know. It's weird to, like, really recommend because I feel like a lot of people are turned off by some part of it or another.
But it insults everybody.
Yeah, it is. It's fair about it. It's not like, you know, it just insults, like, one person. But yeah, so that made my number 10 because I like that it kind of runs the gamut of emotions. But at the end, it's kind of, like, weirdly heartfelt and sincere too.
Yeah.
It's a good, like, emotional story, but it's also really funny, but you do kind of have to be prepared for it because it can be a little bit hard to move past some stuff too. All right.
My number 10 is Lion King.
Okay.
And everything.
I kind of assumed Lion King would be there somewhere. I just didn't know how high it would make it.
I like Lion King, obviously. The soundtrack's great. But just the production value of that one is really cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's super, it's awesome. Yeah. I don't know what to say about it other than it's great.
Like, I've seen
costuming,
like,
costuming and everything.
Yeah, I've seen pictures and, like, a couple performances. I haven't had the pleasure of actually watching it.
It's awesome.
All the way through. But I can tell it would be an impressive production.
It is. No, seeing it on the West End was really, really cool.
Okay.
I like that one.
All right.
A lot.
So is that your...
That's number 10.
Okay. Number 9 for me is Rent, which I was almost scared to put it so low, mostly just because of the backlash I was worried about.
Yeah.
Like, you know, within like musical theater circles, there are like those kind of sacred musicals where it's like they have to rank highly or you're just kind of like a bad person. And Rent is one of those where it's like, yeah, it's really good. I mean, you know, it made my top 10, but I don't feel like it doesn't really break like that like barrier for me to get in like my best of, you know, like my top 2 or 3.
I have no comment.
But I think it's a really excellent musical. And again, you know, it hits like all of the, from like an emotional standpoint, it tells like a really good story and it builds characters really well. It's a really good, like, character driven drama, I guess. Dramedy.
Dramedy.
Of sorts. But it's definitely well done, but just personal preference, there are some that I liked better.
Hits all the feels.
Yeah, but it did break my top 10.
Okay.
So what's your number 9?
My number 9 is Next to Normal.
Okay. Yeah, I was debating on that one too, where to put that one.
Yeah, I like it. It's Aaron Tveit. I don't know what else to say about it.
It's
great, but it's heartbreaking and great, but it's got like this slight like comedic touch to it as well.
It's another dramedy.
And yeah, like, but I just it's really good, but heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And
it deals with a lot, kind of the same way Rent deals with like some really heavy topics. Next to Normal deals with topics of like coming to terms with the death of loved ones and like mental illness and things like that. Like, it takes on a lot of really heavy topics, but it does so in like a sometimes comedic and sometimes really sincere way.
Yeah. No, I started thinking about it as I'm looking back at my list and I'm like,
wonder if that one should have been higher.
No, not even higher, just realizing I like depressing things.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's, you know, that's...
Those are the ones that last with you, though. The ones that make you feel something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, my number 8 is School of Rock, which...
I thought you were all just a bunch of little douchebags.
And so...
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
If you've seen the movie, it's more or less the movie, but just with a Broadway cast. There's a little bit added to it, but you kind of already know what you're in for with that one.
Yeah.
But that's another one that's really well done. They hire kids that actually play all their own instruments, just like in the movie. So instead of using like an orchestra with people on the stage singing, the kids on stage singing and dancing are also playing their own instruments, and that's what forms the music. And so that one's a lot of fun. It's got like a good rock and roll soundtrack, and it's got a lot of comedy, and it's just really well made. I guess not like well adapted, I should say.
Yeah.
Andrew Lloyd Webber did a good job adapting that one.
He did. He did a really good job.
Yeah.
Only composer with 3 people on at the same time. All right. My number 8 is Avenue Q.
Okay. I thought about it. That one didn't make my list. That one ended up getting bumped.
I had some that I was debating, and I'm like, no, I gotta put it on here. And I'll tell you some of the ones that I was surprised that I didn't end up putting on there, which you might realize once we get to number 1.
Yeah.
But Avenue Q. It's amazing.
It's another kind of like Book of Mormon one.
Hilarious.
Where it's like, yeah.
John Tartaglia. It's great. And that was also done by, I'm blanking on his name now that I'm put on the spot.
Lopez.
Lopez, yeah. And,
I'm blanking on his first
Robert
name.
Lopez,
Robert
right?
Lopez. Yeah. Every time I think about him, I want to say Mario Lopez. But I'm like, he's not funny.
You called him George Lopez the
I
other
know.
Day.
And neither one of them, Mario and George Lopez, neither one of them are funny. But Robert Lopez is good at being funny.
Yeah. And he's good at writing Disney music, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so no, Avenue Q's great. Puppets, can't go wrong.
And that's what, if you're not familiar with Robert Lopez, that's what you would recognize him from, is he's done music for some of the more
Frozen.
Recent, yeah, the more recent Medicare. Disney stuff. He also worked with Lin-Manuel Miranda on Moana, didn't he? Am I remembering that right?
I knew until you asked me.
That's a maybe. Maybe he did that.
I used to know more of his stuff.
But anyway.
But yeah, Avenue Q.
Avenue Q. That's another one. It's funny. It's offensive. It's strangely heartfelt at the end.
Yep.
Fits right in.
It does.
All right. My number 7 is Wicked. Which, again, if you know... Even if you know the very just bare bones about musicals, that's kind of a, you know... It is.
The set design is awesome.
So that's one I have gotten to see. And if you get the chance, you definitely should. Because I didn't realize it until, like, shortly before we actually went in and started it, because Haven told me, was that they have, like, an actual, like, dragon head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the dragon clock tower thing sits above the stage.
And that was, like, super cool. I didn't realize that was actually going to be a part of it. But yeah, that's another one. It's just, it's really impressive set pieces, and I mean, even people that don't know musicals know some of the music from Wicked.
Especially being when you consider, like, the set design hasn't really changed much.
Yeah.
And it's still, like, in 2020 is a killer set design, and it came out in 2004.
Yeah.
Like, just some of the stuff technology-wise, the costumes, the set design, all of it is just really, really good. He doesn't know where he wants to go.
No. He's just trying to feature as much as possible.
But no, it's amazing show.
Yeah. All right. So that was my number seven, was Wicked.
All right. My number seven is Falsettos.
Okay. See, I can kind of enjoy that one for what it is. Mm-hmm. I never felt like that one was like top 10 material. That one just felt like one of those like side off shows.
I'm going to be honest. This was one that didn't really come onto my radar until the revival with, like, Christian Borle and Andrew Rannells and Stephanie J. Block and stuff.
Which is probably a big part of why it came onto your
radar. Right, because Andrew Rannells.
Yeah.
But I love it. When they dropped the cast album, I was listening to it nonstop. And I knew some of the songs. Like For Unlikely Lovers and, like, you know, I knew a handful of, like, the bigger songs that just you kind of hear.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one that, again, it's heartbreaking and sad and, but hilarious at times.
Yeah.
And it's just really good. And that's one where, especially being they just kind of sing all the way through, just listening to the soundtrack. It's up on YouTube. You can watch, like, the full performance, because I think PBS or whoever it is that does, like, great performances ended up having it on there. So you can see, like, the full actual show. But you don't even need the full show to get, like, the grasp of, like, the sense of it. You know, like, it's just, it's so good. Mm-hmm. It's really sad.
Yeah. That's, again, that kind of ticks all those boxes.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of... So there are a lot of them, you know, like, there are some really good, like, just straight comedy musicals. And there are some really good, just, like, really depressing musicals and stuff like that. But I think, like, all the ones that I tend to be drawn to are the ones that mix those really deftly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think a lot is to be said for the music and the composer and everything, with the fact that, like, you know, unlike Wicked... Falsettos has, like, very bare minimum set design, and, you know, it's all just the six actors or eight, I think, yeah, something like that, like the six actors or something, and it's literally, like, just them, and they move, like, a few random pieces, but, you know, it's just them and the music, and the fact that they can still hit that hard with just that, it's great. Never fails to make me cry.
Yeah. Yeah, it is cool, because a lot of it is. It's just, like, blocks on stage at some points, and they just move them around to create set pieces. So it is. It's really... It's not necessarily impressive, like, from a visual scale, but more impressive just from a production value.
Yeah.
Design scale. Anything else you'd like to say?
I don't think so.
All right. So, speaking of, you know, how I tend to pick musicals that hit, like, all of the emotions evenly and how I like well-rounded musicals, my next pick for number six is Shrek, the musical.
Oh, it's a good one.
Which is more straight comedy. But yeah. I think your dog wants attention.
He does.
But Shrek is definitely more comedy,
mm-hmm.
but it what was surprising to me was, like, the quality of the production and the music and the lyrics.
Yeah.
Like when all is said and done.
Yeah.
Because...
Let him out. Should I go let him out?
You can. My number six is Shrek, which is more of a straight comedy.
Yeah.
But it's impressive to me just because everything comes together so well. Because whenever they were translating it, you know, my first thought was just kind of an eye roll. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're going to make one of those, like, cash-in musicals. Like, you know, like, I don't want to make you mad here, but, you know, kind of like Disney does, you know, where it's like they take their big famous movie musicals and adapt them for the stage because it makes a boatload of money, you know?
Right.
And
they add a lot of songs in, though, to their
they song. Do, depending on which ones it is. They add two of them. But I was thinking it was going to be kind of more like that, where it was going to be like, you know, they'd make this this musical about Shrek, and it would just kind of be like a straight adaptation with a new song or two or something like that. And the fact that it was fresh and unique, but also like really well done, because I'm not even like
heartfelt at times.
I'm not even like a huge fan of the Shrek movie. Mm-hmm. But I thought the musical was just like really excellent.
No, and all the actors killed it. Brian D'Arcy James, Sutton Foster.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. Fun fact, Shrek was directed by Jason Moore, who also directed Avenue Q, and he's the reason John Tartaglia came on as Pinocchio.
Wow. You learn something new every day. You're such a nerd. All right, but yeah, that's my number six, is Shrek the Musical.
All right. Very fun. My number six, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, is Book of Mormon.
Okay.
I wrote them in weird columns. They're not, like, even.
Oh, okay.
I had to count. Yeah, Book of Mormon is mine. Another Andrew Rannells one there.
Yeah.
And we pretty much covered everything with it. But it's hilarious and just great. I find myself going back to it often.
Mm-hmm. All right. My number five is In the Heights, which was the older musical by Lin-Manuel Miranda. Most people know him for Hamilton, and Hamilton is not my number five. In the Heights is my number five, because I think In the Heights is, maybe it's just because it's more of an original story.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't.
There's
really
a lot of heart with that show.
Yeah, so I think it's just kind of the it's very personal.
It is.
And very, very sincere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I like kind of the, it's weird to say it because, you know, Hamilton is about an actual historical character,
mm-hmm.
but I kind of like this more intimate, down-to-earth feel of, you know, these people living, just living their lives and dreaming mm-hmm. about better lives for themselves.
Right. Yeah, very much gives just a sense of community and family.
Yeah.
And yeah. You can see it, like, that his passion for that project, I mean,
mm-hmm.
is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spent 7 years writing that show.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
But yeah, In the Heights is my number five.
Very, very cool. My number five is Wicked.
Okay. A little bit higher than I put it, but not by much.
Yep, and pretty much for the same reasons. I think the reason it hit so high with me is just because of that set design. It's mm-hmm. just awesome.
It's a spectacle.
It's a show, and also the soundtrack is just great too. Mm-hmm. You know, I always find myself kind of bebopping along or having something in my head from that.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
That's great.
Yeah. So my number four.
Mm-hmm.
is Next to Normal.
Okay.
I put mine, I guess, quite a bit higher than you put yours.
Yeah.
Again, I think kind of just that blend of comedy and drama and heartfelt moments and almost like borderline psychological horror at times.
Mm-hmm.
Just it blends like kind of that dark material with a very like it's very sad and very emotional, but it's also very easy to follow along with and digest. It's very well written, and it's just it's done so well.
Mm-hmm.
Just from a music and lyrics perspective, that's one that I can listen to, and it still affects me sometimes, like just as much as it did the first time I kind of understood the story.
Mm-hmm.
So Next to Normal is my number four.
That's another one with a really small cast, too.
Yeah.
It's like the six of them. All right. Number four is Phantom for me.
Phantom of the Opera?
Yeah, Phantom of the Opera. Andrew Lloyd Webber. I will always be a stan for him. I know I used that word, and you hate that word. I like Andrew Lloyd Webber. He's a great composer. I love his shows. I was introduced to a lot of his stuff, you know, when I was younger. So I hold a special place in my heart for Andrew. You know, Phantom's just great. I love the book that it was based off of. And the show itself is just phenomenal and beautiful. And Raoul's a little pussy, but, you know, whatever. But it's great. The music is awesome. And I like that it's kind of darker and kind of like, you know, ooh, spooky.
Yeah.
But I like Phantom a lot.
Mm-hmm. It is definitely. And I mean, there's a reason it's as famous and popular as it is. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
My number three is the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee.
You put that a lot higher than I thought you would. When you hadn't mentioned it by your top five, I was like, oh, he probably didn't do Spelling Bee.
Nope, that one's my number three.
Wow.
Mostly,
it's a good show, though.
Yeah, well, and I mean, part of it might just be nostalgia, because that was one of those ones that I might not listen to it as much now as I used to, but that's one of those ones that I just, like, really fell in love with, you know? It's one you were talking about earlier, which I don't remember which one it was you said. But there was one you mentioned where it was like almost more like it holds a special place in your heart.
It was Phantom. That was literally 2 seconds ago.
Oh, was it? I thought there was one further back. But anyway, that's kind of how Spelling Bee is for me. It's kind of like I know almost all of the songs, you know, just, and I love them like just as much as the others.
Right.
And it's like, because, you know, there are a lot of them where it is. It's like,
I know almost all the songs. I would hope you're number three. You know the songs.
I'm just saying, like, you know those musical sports, like, you enjoy them, but you kind of have those songs where you pick them out.
Yeah.
And there's some where it's like, you know, I'll listen to that when I'm in a different mood, you know, or something like that. I think, like,
you can go to it anytime, any day, and just let it play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Spelling Bee is another one of those where, even though it leans a little bit more toward the comedic side, it does. It hits those emotions. It hits a lot of emotions. And it does it really well while also being kind of like a caricature and a parody. It's not afraid to be like really goofy and show.
Well, I mean, it's got Jesse Tyler Ferguson in it, so.
Yeah. but yeah, so that ended up being my number three.
He's funny. Okay.
He's funny.
He is. Just his little finger puppet. My number three is Rent. I
kind of figured it would be higher on yours.
I love that musical, and it never fails to make me cry. It doesn't matter if I'm just listening to the soundtrack or watching it in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
And no version of it. Well. The version at the Hollywood Bowl was not great. Sorry, Neil Patrick Harris. But it doesn't ever seem to matter what version I'm watching, really. It always just hits. And that, to me, I mean, obviously, like, the actors are great actors, but, you know, that says a lot for the work that Jonathan Larson did with it and everything and stuff with just the music and it hits you. And,
yeah.
Oh, it's really good.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. It's a very good musical.
Yeah. That's another one that plays with a slightly more simpler set piece, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just being it was incomplete when...
Yeah.
Everything happened. So. Mm-hmm. But it works, and it's great.
Yeah.
But yeah. That was my number three.
My number two is Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
Sweeney didn't make one?
Nope.
I think I know what number one is then.
Sweeney Todd is number two, which I've pretty much always said that it's my number one. And it's one of those that, like, as far back as we've been dating, that's just kind of been my go-to musical.
Yeah.
whether it be the Broadway or the movie version. It's just one of those that I can always go to and I can always sing along with. And I just, that's that musical that just holds a special place in my heart. Mm-hmm. Maybe just because I found it at the right time.
Yeah.
But it's just that one that kind of, more than any other musical, that one like kind of developed my love for musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have much more to say than it's everything about it is just right. Excellent. The writing, the music, the set design, multi-tier set design.
Yeah.
It's just everything was just so really well done.
Yeah. And it kind of has that same like darker, you know, kind of vibe, but it's really fun at mm-hmm. times, you know, and everything with certain characters. They have just like their more comedic moments.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But it is good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're at number two.
Mm-hmm.
My number two, I don't even have to look. I know what my top two are. I don't know why I'm looking. My number two is Dear Evan Hansen.
Okay.
And I don't even think I have to say more than the three words Dear Evan Hansen. Most people know. I mean, it's beyond Broadway, like
it's
everybody.
Not, yeah, it's not quite like Hamilton level, but that's another one that's kind of getting that mass appeal now.
It's just, I mean, it's just amazing. And Ben Platt kills it. And that's one that when it first came out, you were hooked right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no. It's not doing it for me.
Yeah, which is funny because it did take you a little bit to come around because I was like, Haven, you have to listen to this. And I would like play songs for you and you'd mm-hmm. be like, you know, like it's fine, but I don't know if I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
Like,
no, and finally after a little bit of you playing certain songs, Waving Through a Window, finally kind of, I noticed it kind of being in my head, mm-hmm. you know? And so then I was like, dang it, I gotta go listen to it. And so I listened to it and I listened to the soundtrack and I've been obsessed for a while now.
Yeah.
But it's so, so good. Mm-hmm. And that's another one. Like, I feel like such a loser. I'll be like in the car blasting along to like You Will Be Found and I'm like crying and the people next to me are like, what is going on with her? Mm-hmm. And I'm just crying in my car. Like, yes, sing. So good. Yeah. But and I like that, you know, because a lot of times with sadder things too, like movies and plays will try to just make it a happy ending either way.
Yeah.
And they'll just kind of be like, oh no, just kidding, everyone's happy, we know we took you through this whole like emotional thing, but psych. And it doesn't do that. I like how it very much ends with, you know, he's on the mend and he's, you know, kind of getting better and mentally he's, you know, kind of stabilizing. But things are still, like, not quite, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they've forgiven him for, like, what he's done and everything. But it's a realistic ending, I guess, is what I'm mm-hmm. trying to say. Like, it's satisfying and realistic. But it's, you know, it works really well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if there's anything you want to add to that.
So you're good?
I guess.
Okay. Okay. So my number one, get like a little mini drum roll. My number one is Dear Evan Hansen.
I figured. I'm like, okay, if Sweeney's not one, it's gonna be Dear Evan Hansen.
Well, and mostly just because it is. It's one of the best written musicals I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Like the music and the lyrics are just not just clever, mm-hmm. but like it resonates with so many different kinds of people.
Yeah.
And again, like I know I've said it a few times while we've been talking, but like, it does, it covers like all of these emotions and wraps them up so neatly. Mm-hmm. And it covers like these really dark topics, like, you know, but it's all like relatable things, you know, things like social anxiety and depression and suicide and things like that. But it does it in such like a touching and sensitive way while also having fun and like making you laugh, but like making you think at the same time. And it's something that, you know, it's like as you're watching it, you can there are these moments where, you know, even someone like me, you know, it's like I'm pushing 30 at this point and I'm married and I have a house, you know, and it's like for all intents and purposes, I'm very blessed. Like, you know, I'm very lucky to have everything that I do. And I can still relate to some of these topics of like anxiety and depression and things like that. You know, these difficult things that it's like, you know, it's something that I feel like everybody can kind of come away with something.
There's a little bit of Evan in everyone, I think.
Ew.
Not like that. But we all, you're right. We all can kind of, everyone can kind of grab at certain pieces and really relate to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my number one. And your number one is also...
My number one is cats.
Oh. It's Dear Evan Hansen again!
Well, and I'm not talking about, like, the crappy movie version.
You're talking about the crappy original version.
I'm gonna smack you. I pretend like the movie doesn't even exist.
I think
the last movie of Cats that was made for me was the 96 film version, but
everybody that was involved with that is trying to pretend it doesn't exist right now.
I know, and it hurts my heart that exists, because that play, it, you know, that musical is just it everything to me. It's been everything to me since I was like 3 years old, and my grandma was like, oh, let's just put this in and keep her busy.
Yeah.
Little did she know it would lead to me dancing around the living room with, you know, little clip-on cubes tied to my pants, like, you know, 19. I'm just kidding. But I love Cats. And it's one of those shows that, like, yeah, a lot of people claim it doesn't have a story, it doesn't make sense, you know, but, like, it totally has a story.
See, and that's one thing, for as bad as the movie was, I will give it credit for kind of helping me visualize what exactly is going on. After seeing the new movie, I came out of it like, Haven, that was awful. That was the worst thing I've ever seen.
I cry.
But, like, also, I kind of understand what the story is now.
Yeah. Like, but it's just so good. And any show of it that you go to, there's just, it's always going to be different. Mm-hmm. Because just with all the different characters and the small little, you know, differences in, like, choreography and everything. Oh, my gosh, the choreography. Gillian Lynn did an amazing job. I love the choreography. And it's just, it's amazing. I love the costumes. I love just everything about that show. And it holds a very special place in my heart, and it always will. The music's great. It's catchy. The dance routines are fun and amazing and catchy. And I think it's just, it's a demanding show too.
Yeah.
Like, I think I have a lot of respect for the people that get cast in that show that are able to do that 8 times a week, mm-hmm. because it is a demand. I mean, it's, you know, 2.5 hours of solid dance and singing. Like, you have to be pretty much a triple threat to be in that show. And
not if you're in the movie version.
Not if you're in the movie version. Looking at you, Rebel Wilson and James Corden.
And everyone else involved.
And Taylor Swift and who else was involved?
Whoever did Mr. Mistopheles. Hey, Haven.
So bad.
Hey, Haven. What'd you think of the Mr. Mistopheles number in the Cats movie?
Mr. Mistopheles number was a joke, okay? It was a joke. That's just a whole nother video. You want to hear my opinion on the Cats movie? Give yourself 24 hours to sit down and listen and watch another video. Because I got... We're like, what, 5 months out from this thing, and I still, like, get irritated when people bring it up?
You bottle up this anger.
Like,
Just bury it deep down until someone asks you about it.
So bad. Mm-hmm. So bad.
But the Broadway version.
The Broadway, the London, yeah, the stage production is amazing. I miss the, like, original version. You know, they kind of revamped it when they revived it in London back in 2016, I think it was, or something like that.
Whenever it was.
But, you know, they revived it and they kind of revamped it. They made Tugger more, like, hip-hoppy and kind of not quite my favorite. Like, okay, fine, whatever. Still way better than the movie. But I miss the old, like, Elvis-inspired Tugger than, like, I'm Jason Derulo, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but the show itself is just amazing and great.
Amazing and great?
Yes.
Wow!
I love it. There is not a single... I mean, there's a reason it won as many Tonys as it did in everything, you know? Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Because everybody named Tony loves it.
It... But, like, I don't know what to say about it. It's just...
You've said an awful lot about it.
I love it.
But yeah, so that's your number one.
Yes, Cats.
Mm-hmm. Cats and Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah.
Two pretty solid choices. Mm-hmm. All right. So do you have anything else you'd like to add? Any honorable mentions or anything like that?
I struggled so much narrowing it down.
I know you said you brought it down to 12, and that's when it got hard for you.
Yeah, I kind of went through and was able to kind of list off my top 20 pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's like you were saying, you've got your shows that, you know, you listen to.
Yeah.
And everything. But my top 20 were all shows that I'm like, I love all the soundtracks. I listen to them all the time. I was able to kind of rattle them off pretty easy. But when I started having to compare and narrowing them down, I got to about 12. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so hard.
Yeah.
I was stuck between putting next, because I think it was Lion King and Next to Normal that were 10 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
I was really iffing about bumping them out and putting In the Heights and Jersey Boys in there.
Okay.
In the Heights and Jersey Boys were right there.
That's when I was kind of surprised Jersey Boys didn't make your list.
I love Jersey Boys and it is so good. I think I guess it's not really fair to hold it against it, but I think the reason I kind of didn't use Jersey Boys is because I'm like, you know, they kind of just took the Four Seasons and Frankie Valli songs and kind of revamped them and put them on Broadway.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'll kind of pick some of the others, but it's an amazing show.
Yeah.
It's so good. Seeing that live was great.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, and I think mine... I was kind of bummed out that I had to not put some of the classics on there.
Yeah.
Because I had, like, whenever I was making my list originally, before I had to narrow it down, I had, like, On the Town, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, and stuff like that, and I ended up booting the old ones.
To put some more relevant ones.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I don't regret the ones I've got on there. I picked my personal top 10, but I think... I was reluctant to get rid of some of the more classic ones.
Yeah. No, I kind of did the same because I had like King and I and West Side Story and things like that on there. And I ended up, you know, just process of elimination. They kind of got weeded out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised neither of us put Hamilton up there.
Yeah.
Like, I love Hamilton. It's a great musical.
I think it is really good. I think that one almost has the problem that, like, some like, overplayed radio songs do.
You're over
where,
it?
Yeah, I kind of got to a point where I'm like, you know what? Everyone's going to expect it to be on here, so just for that, I'm not going to put it on here.
See,
Not that, you know, I, like, lied to myself. It's not like, you know, oh, it would have been number 10, except people would have expected it. I'm not going to do, like, that thing. Mm-hmm. But, like, it wouldn't have made top 10 either way.
No.
But I think I'm a little bit more stubborn about it just because it made the impact that it did.
No, well, because my thing was, like I said, In the Heights was one of the ones I was struggling with, like, kind of you know, which ones to put in.
Yeah.
And my personal opinion, In the Heights is the better show of his that he wrote. And so I'm like, there's no way if In the Heights didn't make it, Hamilton's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's a great show. I rap along in the car all the time, really, really whitely. And but I think I'm good. And and stuff, but I but it like it's a great show. I don't want you to think like I don't like it.
Right.
But yeah, In the Heights, I like I said, I feel that not that he didn't have passion for Hamilton. He worked on Hamilton for a really, really long time. I mean, there's videos of him from like, what, like 2009 or something, singing parts of Hamilton to Barack Obama and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's been working on it for forever, but In the Heights just, I really, you can just see the love and the passion and the heart with that show. And mm-hmm. I don't know, something's got to be said for that.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, that was our top 10 Broadway musicals. If I can convince Haven to do more of this kind of stuff, we'll keep coming back and doing more of this kind of stuff.
Okay.
Until then, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that you want to see more. I hope you'll forgive kind of the casual nature of this with the dogs and the mess behind us and everything.
And I hope you blur all that out.
And,
I'm gonna be so embarrassed if you don't. This is not my garage.
It's a garage in progress. It's my space. But anyway, point being, we hope that you enjoyed it, and we would like to keep doing more, or I would like to keep doing more. I hope Haven wants to do more. And until we get to another video, we will see you guys next time. Bye.